What word meaning? Sattva Eka Nishte. In full Krishna consciousness. Manasi. In your mind. Bhagavat. With the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parsvavartini. Being constantly associated. Tamaha. The dark planet. Chandramasi, in the moon. Eva, like. Idam, this cosmic manifestation. Uparajya, being connected. Avabhasate, becomes manifest. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. Please repeat responsibly. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. Purport by His Divine Grace. It has been explained in the previous verse that all desires of the mental platform become visible one after another. Sometimes, however, by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole stockpile can be visible all at one time. In Brahma Samhita 5.54, it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile of material desires is minimized. Indeed, the desires no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies. Instead, the stockpile of desires become visible on the mental platform by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, the darkness occurring before the full moon, the lunar eclipse, can be explained as being another planet known as Rahu. According to Vedic astronomy, the Rahu planet, which is not visible, is accepted. Sometimes, the Rahu planet is visible in the presence of full moonlight. It then appears that this Rahu planet exists somewhere near the orbit of the moon. The failure of modern moon excursionists may be due to the Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet Rahu. Actually, they are not going to the moon but to the planet Rahu, and after reaching this planet, they come back. Apart from this discussion, the point is that a living entity has immense and unlimited desires for material enjoyment, and he has to transmigrate from one gross body to another until these desires are exhausted. No living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, Sattvaika Nishte, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is freed from the past and future material desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Mother Yasoda seeing the whole cosmic manifestation within the mouth of Lord Krishna. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Mother Yasoda saw all the universes and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. Why we see things not experienced in this life is explained herein. That which we see in the future expression of a gross body or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. Because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept a future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. Therefore, sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Jnanan Janasalakaya Sakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Dangayate Girim Yatkrupatam Hambande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vancha Kalpatarabhyasya Krupa Sindhavya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Chinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasnacha Desa Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Radha Rasri Hari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaurnitai ki. In this verse, Narada Muni is continuing his instructions to King Prachina Barhi. In this section, Narada Muni is explaining how the subtle body works. The mind, which is reservoir of different kinds of desires, how those desires are manifested and how one perceives them and also gets affected by them. In Katha Upanishad, it is stated how there is an analogy given between a chariot driven by 5 horses and the material body driven by the 5 senses. It is stated therein that exactly like a chariot, if it is mounted with 5 horses are there, and these 5 horses have to drive the chariot. So in this case, it is very essential that these horses are properly guided in what direction they will have to go. If the passenger has a destination, okay, I want to go to such and such place, he has to know the way to go. Not only that he has to know the way to go, he has to also know how to direct the horses to go in that direction. He may know the way to go, but he doesn't know how to direct the horses. Still, he can't reach the destination. So these 5 horses are pulling this chariot, and there is a chariot driver employed by the owner. Owner is sitting in the back. He has told the chariot driver, please drive this my chariot on this road. And then Driver is sitting in the seat, horses are mounted, so there has to be something, some instrument needed between the driver and the horser, and that is a reins, ropes. So the driver has to be very trained, he has to be very expert, so that he can actually control the horses in such a way that they are directed in the proper direction that he wants to go. Not that the chariot will go the direction the horses want to go. Five horses also, not even one horse. Even if it is one horse, it's a difficulty. What to speak of five horses? Five horses want to go in five directions. Then there cannot be any meaningful journey. There may be some journey and dum 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 dama, it will go and crash. Cannot be any meaningful journey. Katha Upanishad states, our life is also a journey. Life journey has to be directed in a particular path. And the life journey has to have a particular goal. Knowing the goal well, one has to direct the life on a particular path. So while directing on the particular path, he encounters five senses. And on the path there is no problem. But around the path there is so many sense objects. So many sense objects. The horses can very easily get diverted towards the sense object. Very easy for the horse. That is why usually in the horse cart, the horse which drives, which pulls the cart, they usually put a blinder so that it only sees the path, not the grass here and tree there and no bush there, you can go and eat there. If it sees that, it will go away this way, that way. But our senses don't have a blinder. Our senses are like a horse. Our five senses are compared to five horses. The mind is compared to the driving instrument, that is the rein. And the intelligence is the driver. And the soul is the passenger. And this material body is the chariot. Chariot has to move. The senses, they don't have a blinder. They cannot see only the path. They can see so many sense objects this way, that way. It's a difficult task. Difficult task because the senses, as soon as it sees the sense object, it gets attracted. That is the design criteria. Nothing to be blamed. This is the design, the body, material body is designed so that the senses can get attracted to the sense object, so he can enjoy the sense object, so that he can remain in this material world forever. Designed like that. So you have to do something extra to come out of this. If you just do everything normally what is designed, then you are here forever. You are here since time immemorial, you will remain here also till everything. You will sit here. Plus, minus infinity to plus infinity. So, it becomes very, very important for the driver who is intelligence, to direct the mind and senses in a proper direction. This proper direction, path, is bhakti mark. If one wants to go back home, back to Godhead, he has to direct his chariot in the bhakti mark. If he goes in different other mark, he will not reach Godhead. He will reach some other head. He will go and hit his head only somewhere. Accident. Dead end. You may meet a dead end, not the Godhead. Different mark, jnana mark, dhyana mark, different kinds of karma mark. So many other margas are there. You'll have to take a particular road, you know. Without taking a particular road, it is not possible to reach a particular destination. So, it becomes so important that one actually trains his intelligence in such a way that his mind and senses are properly directed in a particular path. So, mind is also known as the sixth sense. Mana shashthani indriyani prakritisthani karshati. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Mind is considered sixth sense because it is very closely associated with the sense. The reins are very much connected to the horses. And the mind gets influenced by any one of the senses. And mind can influence the senses also, vice versa. So because of that, mind is also considered another sixth sense. Shashthani indriyani, shashtha, sixth. Mind is the sixth sense. So, this mind, it plays a very, very important role in various decisions in our life. It is stated in the previous few slokas how mind is the storehouse of various desires. Suppose a person wants to enjoy some object, sense, he comes across a sense object. He thinks that, oh, I should enjoy this. But then he is not able to fulfill that desire. Suppose some beggar on the street may walk, walking past J.W. Marriott, and he sees so many people are going well dressed and are, oh, maybe I can also go and, you know, spend some time in J.W. Marriott. But he doesn't have money. So he is having the desire, oh, everybody is going there, I am not going. And this desire is, stored in his mind. I want to enjoy Zen. But then finally he never became a millionaire so that he can go inside J.W. Marriott. This unfulfilled desire may crop up in the next life if he dies. Next lifetime, this same desire is stored. When a similar opportunity arises, he thinks, hey, yeah, I wanted to enjoy this, you know. He may come to same J.W. Marriott. This time he may be having more money. When he sees, oh, I wanted to enjoy. Chalo, let me go and enjoy. Like that, various desires, some may be fulfilled, some may not be fulfilled. Many may not be fulfilled actually. There are so many things we don't get fulfilled. Those desires, they don't go away anywhere. They are in with you. Unfulfilled desire. It's a storehouse of unfulfilled desire of many, many lifetimes, so many lifetimes. In one lifetime wanting to go to J.W. Marriott, another lifetime wanting to go to heavenly planet, another lifetime wanting to go somewhere else. Different kinds of desires, when they were not fulfilled, they are all stored. They don't go anywhere, stored in the mind. Mind is the storehouse of all these desires. So, it is explained here, in this section, how sometimes we get some dreams which you never experienced in life. Something like flying mountain. There is a mountain flying and you are sitting on top of it. Yes, I am flying on the mountain. You never see any mountain flying anyway. Aircraft fly, mountains don't. You have not seen, at least. Maybe in another planetary system mountains may be flying also. But then we have not directly experienced. Not just mountain flying, golden mountain flying. You are sitting on top of it wanting to enjoy. It may be due to your past desire. In one lifetime you wanted to fly, another lifetime you wanted gold, and another lot of gold, another lifetime you wanted to be the master of a mountain sitting on top. All these 3-4 desires put together and you see a flying mountain, golden mountain on top of which you are sitting and saying, hey, yes, Haribo, hey, how are you? You become happy. The soul actually experiences, dream is not, illusory. In the subtle level it exists. It's not that it is not existing, you thought it existed. It is existing in the subtle level, and on that subtle level the spirit soul actually experiences also. Sometimes that experience can be manifest in the physical body also, dream. Dream is a subtle reality. Sometimes one is dreaming. He is going in the forest. Tiger is coming behind. And then he is running. And tiger comes close and it just catches him. You wake up. Then you see body sweating. Tiger nahi, acha ho gaya. woke up from the dream. If it was not reality, how he can sweat? It's not like imagination. It's not like daydreaming could be imagination. You know, you just dream, you know, oh, when will I get this? Oh, I am just entering into JW Marriott. You are not really entering there, daydreaming. Some people do daydreaming, which they cannot achieve. At least in dream we will achieve. No, yeah, yeah, I achieved in the daydream. Daydream is little different than night dream, real dream. There, the soul actually experiences whatever he undergoes. So in that way, desires are actually in the mind, and whenever and wherever there is an opportunity, the mind feeds the senses, hey, this is what we wanted to enjoy one time, now you are getting an opportunity, chalo, hari bol, chalo, yes, chod do, path ko chod do, side mein jao. Because on the path there is not that kind of enjoyment. Leave the main path and go somewhere else. Chota gali. Hey, isme achcha hai. You are supposed to go on the expressway to some destination. If you take a right turn or left turn, where you'll go? Your journey will be obstructed, delayed. Who knows? Diverted. May not even come back to this road. Who knows? We don't know. It may take you somewhere else. So in this way, these desires, which is stored in the mind, plays very, very important role, because the mind actually, when he sees certain unfulfilled desire, it encourages the senses to go in a particular direction. So, it is very important to purify those desires. If they are not taken care of, one's spiritual journey will be very, very difficult. There will be so many obstacles on the path. So it becomes so important that unless these desires are purified in our consciousness, mind and consciousness, they are more or less the same thing. It is very difficult to peacefully advance further, because here Prabhupada states, it is stated in the sloka here, sattva eka nishte, sattvaika nishte. Unless one comes to the sattva guna, mode of goodness. So in the mode of goodness, one becomes peaceful, mind doesn't disturb. Mind disturbs only in the lower modes, passion and ignorance. If one comes to the higher modes, the objects may be there, he doesn't get disturbed by them. So, cheto darpana marjanam, the chetana, consciousness has to be purified. So these all desires are like a dirt particle sitting on the mirror of consciousness. The mirror, you are not able to see yourself in front of the mirror, because so much particle, dust particle, those dust particles are these desires, material desire, unfulfilled material desire from various lifetimes. Cheto darpana marjanam bahumaha davagni nirvapanam. Unless these dust particles are removed, one cannot actually experience oneself, see oneself in front of the mirror. So this mirror of consciousness cannot reveal one's spiritual nature as long as the desires are sitting and directing the living entity towards different enjoyment. Not possible. So in this way, one has to actually devise a method to overcome these desires. And that overcoming the desires happens by means of getting the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. There is some happiness in the sense objects. It's not that for nothing anybody is engaged. There is some kind of happiness. And that happiness is a lower happiness. As long as one has not seen the higher happiness, the lower happiness will be very satisfying, you know. It's very nice, what's the problem? Everything is going fine. Because he has not seen the higher happiness. He is remaining at the lower level of passion and ignorance. He doesn't know what happiness could be there at the higher level. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah rasavajyam rasopyasya param drishtvana nivartate. As long as one is in the lower mode, not seeing the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, he will obviously be attracted. If he is neither attracted to Krishna consciousness nor attracted to material happiness, something is wrong with him. There must be something wrong. Neither this nor that, what you are attracted to? Only table cannot attract, stone cannot. A sentient being, he has got feelings and desire. Supposed to be doing something, you know, he can't just remain like a stone. He can't remain like a statue. Either this or that, there is nothing called in between. Nothing in between. Either one naturally gets attracted in this material world to various sense objects, or he sees from the higher perspective, oh, this is lower taste. I want higher taste. What is higher taste? Higher taste of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Simply by chanting the holy names, one actually slowly removes the dirt that is accumulated in the consciousness. Lord Chaitanya used to compare cleansing, equivalent to cleansing the heart, cleansing of the temple. Yesterday was Gundicha Marjan Day, cleansing of the temple, right? So Lord Chaitanya also cleansed the temple of Gundicha in Puri. So when he was cleaning, so he used to tell the devotee, see, the more dirt if you collect, you will be awarded. More Mahaprasad will be given. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you clean the temple, it is like cleaning the heart. Heart. So, like, the dirt is supposed to be sitting elsewhere. It is not supposed to be sitting in the temple. It's the wrong place. So something is in a wrong place, you'll have to remove that. Dirt is not supposed to be sitting here. Go sit somewhere else. Cleaning. So the material desires are not supposed to be sitting in our consciousness. It's the wrong place. It has to be removed. It has to be cleansed. And that cleansing happens. So you can't use the broom, physical broom. It is in consciousness. So you need a subtle thing. And the subtle thing comes in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Chanting the holy names. By simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can actually purify the consciousness. And by purifying the consciousness, one can actually able to be situated in the higher mode of Krishna consciousness. So here, Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita, Karmani nirdhakati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. We are coming with different stockpile, huge quantity. How much we are coming with, we don't know. We just say that, you know, there are a lot of desires. But there are desires which are manifest. There are desires which are unmanifest. Exactly like seed. There is seed, and if you put some water and plant it, then the seed starts sprouting. Some are sprout, some are fully grown. Like that, desires also are different levels. Some are fully manifest. Oh, I want to enjoy this. And this is only few desires which he has already manifest. But there may be so many desires which are in the seed form which we may not even know they are there. When a favorable situation comes, they may start manifesting. Exactly like a seed starts growing as soon as it is put in the earth and water is given. Immediately it starts growing. In the summer you will see everywhere dry. When it starts raining, you will see so many places, grass and fungus, so many things are coming. It's not that they came from somewhere, they are there. They did not manifest, they are in the seed form. Now they start manifesting and the rain comes and the atmosphere becomes alright, they start manifesting. In the same way, there is such a stockpile of various desires, Krishna actually minimizes it when one becomes a devotee. Krishna just subsidizes it. Chalo, wave it. He is exempted from this. Chalo. When one becomes a devotee. Also Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesam yevanu kampartam aham ajnana jamtama nasayami atma bhavastho jnana deepena bhasvata. So this heart is a deep cave of heart, because it is inside, you know, not outside. Outside there is light, inside. It's a deep cave. In this deep cave there is no light. If there is no light, how we can see things as they are? Ignorance is compared to darkness. Tamas, ignorance. Ignorance means the object is there, you don't know it is there. You don't know things as they are, ignorant. సో కృష్ణ తేషాం ఏవానుకంపాతం అహం అజ్ఞాన అజ్ఞాన బికాస్ ఆఫ్ అజ్ఞాన వన్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ సో కృష్ణ సేస్ ఐ లిట్ ఎ ల్యాంప్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ వెన్ దెర్ ఈస్ డార్క్నెస్ యూ కెనాట్ సీ థింగ్స్ యాజ్ దే ఆర్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ ద లైట్ కమ్స్ యూ కెన్ సీ థింగ్స్ యాజ్ దే ఆర్ ఎస్ దిస్ ఈస్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ హియర్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ బికమ్ కంప్లీట్లీ పిచ్ డార్క్ యూ కాంట్ ఈవెన్ సీ ద టేబుల్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ యూ Prabhupada says, you can't even see your own hand. Suppose your hand is there. Completely pitch dark. You know that your hand is there, but you can't see the hand. If you can't even see your hand, what to speak of other objects? To see things as they are, one has to bring light. Just immediately light. Suppose it becomes too dark, you can't see. Then you take a torch light or your mobile torch. You take and then you see. The same way, one is in the ignorance. What is ignorance? The ignorance is that even though he is spirit soul, he thinks that he is body. This is the first ignorance. No, I am this body. No, I am fine. Everything is okay. All these things are for me, my enjoyment. I am the body. All these objects are mine to enjoy. Aham mameti. A person who is in this concept of life is considered a person in darkness. You will say, hey, wait a minute, I am not in darkness. No, in my light, no, I have got a very high power lamp, no, lit up. No, no, your house is lit up. But you are living in the deep dark well, so dark that you don't even know what is what. Graham Antakupam. Antakupam. Why it is dark? Why it is dark? It is said because you can't see things as they are. If you can't see things as they are, it is darkness. So one can come out of this darkness only by bringing the light of Krishna consciousness. Jnana Deepena Bhashvata. Jnana Deepa. When the Jnana Deepa comes, all this ignorance is completely destroyed. So to come out of the ignorance and the passion, it is very, very essential for a person to bring the light of knowledge. This light of knowledge, when it is brought, what happens is that even though you may have so much desire which is accumulated from millions and trillions of lifetimes, even if you take one desire from one lifetime, it could be what? Millions and trillions. What to speak only one? It could be many desires in each lifetime. So how much desire? It's a huge stockpile. See, a big godown of storage, godown, you have stored it in the godown. But the Krishna consciousness is so potent that, even though it may be so huge quantity of seed, and this Krishna consciousness can actually fry away these seeds of desires. The seed, if suppose you take the seed and put it in the frying pan, kitchen. Then you roast it. You roast the seed. And then you try to plant. What will happen? Very nice, fertile land. Nice rains are coming. Everything is favorable. You plant a roasted seed. What will happen? Kya hoga? Kuch aayega? Why not? Seed is there. It looks exactly the way. You fry it in such a way that it looks normal seed. No? When Pandavas were on Ajnanavas, no, they were living on begging, you know. He instructed everybody, nobody should give a fertile seed, you know, proper seed. You fry it and give. Then you can't plant it, you know. He thought that if they take the actual seed, they will plant it and cultivate it somewhere. No, fried seed were given. So you can't actually, you can cook it, but you can't cultivate it. Fried seed. So Krishna consciousness fries away all these desires which are accumulated in the heart for millions and trillions of lifetimes. Even though it is there, it is useless. It can't give rise to a sprout. It can't manifest in the heart. Completely finished. That is the power of Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness roasts, proper roasting. So no way the seed can give rise to desire in the heart. That is for the person who has actually achieved the level of Krishna consciousness. When one actually comes to that level, visuddha sattva, tamagun, lowest, then Rajagun, from Rajagun, Sattvagun, Sattvagun say Visuddha Sattva. Visuddha Sattva is pure goodness, transcendental. Sattvaguna is goodness, good enough, but then not that much that one can be associating with the Lord. For that, Visuddha Sattva is required. Pure goodness. Vaishnava is situated on the Visuddha Sattva. So Narada Muni is explaining here that for a person who has achieved that level of Krishna consciousness, he can see the things as the Lord would see. The Lord, the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna, when he comes to the material world, he is not attracted to this thing that J.W. Marriott, he is not going to be attracted. What J.W. Marriott? If Krishna walks by, just hypothetically speaking, he is not going to say, hey, all are going to J.W. Marriott, when will I go? He doesn't even, he knows that people are suffering inside. Why people are going? They want some sense enjoyment, you know. So somebody is in sense enjoyment, he is in ignorance. A person in ignorance is enjoying, and when he is enjoying, he thinks he is very happy. But a person in proper knowledge, he thinks he is suffering. It is not that somebody is a rich man living in the Malabar hill means he is very happy. He could be suffering also, we don't know. We don't know. So when Krishna comes in material world, he doesn't get attracted towards the various sense objects. Why? He is self-satisfied. Atma Rama. He doesn't need any outer object to satisfy him. Inner object, he is internally satisfied. Only in things which are in internal potency can give happiness to Krishna. Spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, gopis, they are on the internal potency's manifestation. External world, he doesn't get any enjoyment. When a person is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he will be able to see this material world exactly like Krishna would see. Doesn't find any happiness here. What? He is inert? No, he is taking happiness from within, associating with the Lord. Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgrantapi Urukrame Kurvanta Haitutim Bhaktin Yittam Bhuta Guno Harihi. The association of the Supreme Lord is so pleasurable that he doesn't get attracted towards the material enjoyment. He is not that he is not enjoying, he is enjoying within by the devotional service itself. Even Atma Ramas can get attracted towards the devotional service. So the happiness he gets, he is also looking for happiness. A living entity, a sentient being, he has to have emotions. He has to have feelings. Otherwise stone. Only stone cannot have. So a devotee who actually has overcome the desire to enjoy this material world, when he is situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness, he actually takes pleasure in the devotional service itself. Takes pleasure from within. And he could see the world as Krishna would see. Very, very powerful statement Narada Muni is making here. Very powerful. How a devotee can see like Krishna sees? Yes. He is so situated, because the Lord is situated on the Visuddha Sattva, and the devotee comes to that Visuddha Sattva, qualitatively he is one with Krishna. Because he is qualitatively one with Krishna, like Krishna would see, he would also be able to see. He won't become Krishna, by the way. Sorry, that person is not vacant. But he can act exactly the way Krishna would act within this material world. So here, Prabhupada makes an interesting point about how so-called scientists claim that they have gone to moon planet. Controversial subject matter. So here it is stated that, Narada Muni is talking about this. For a person who is situated on the pure Krishna consciousness, even though from previous lives the desires are there, and those desires Krishna actually can show at one point of time. Sometimes we see one desire manifesting. Krishna can bless the devotee such that all the desires can be seen at one point of time. So many desires. Exactly like Krishna gave Arjuna the eyes to see the Vishwarupa form, transcendental vision. Not that anybody can see. So Krishna has to bless him with vision to see Vishwarupa form. Like that, here Narada Muni is stating, by the mercy of Krishna, a pure devotee may be able to see all the desires within the heart at one stroke, but not all the time. Sometimes. What is that sometime? It may just come and go. Just one moment. Exactly like Yamunacharya was Ramanujacharya's param guru. Guru's guru. Acharya of Sri Sampradaya. One of the acharyas of Sri Sampradaya. Before Ramanuja, he was the acharya of the Sri Vaishnavism in Sri Rangam. So, before he became acharya, he was actually a king. King means he has all the facilities to enjoy, you know. Nice palace and very palatable dishes and all the facilities. All kinds of facilities. So Yamunacharya writes saying that, actually I am now tasting the new mellows of the devotional service of my Lord. Very new. Anandambudhi Vardhanam. It's very ever fresh, coming new waves. It's like waves coming from the ocean, one after another. It's not that one wave came and stopped, no. One, two, on and on and on. Now that I am tasting this wonderful mellows of devotional service, when I think of the enjoyment I had as a king, the pleasure of enjoying different women and this, that and all the pleasure, when the thought comes to my mind, I spit at my thought, Yamunacharya. See, the thought is coming, but he is not influenced by that thought. The difference between that and this is that a thought may come in our mind and then we will say that, yeah, Hari bol, chalo kuch karke aayenge. Then you realize, hey, wait a minute, what am I doing actually? If one is situated on the sattva or visuddha sattva, even if the thought comes exactly like sometimes it manifests, then he will not get influence. So that sometimes manifesting, Narada Muni is giving the example exactly like the Rahu planet manifests sometimes in front of the moon, eclipse, Chandra Grahan. So Rahu comes in between the earth and the moon, then you can't see the moon. It is not a permanent feature, it just comes and goes. Exactly like the Rahu will come and go, the desires may come, the thought of the desires may come for a devotee in the mode of goodness, but it will go away immediately or it will not stay. Exactly like eclipse is not a permanent feature. Just for a moment, sometimes partial eclipse, sometimes full eclipse, still the eclipse, the Rahu planet goes away. So, Prabhupada makes an interesting comment about those who are saying that they have gone to moon, whether they really went to moon or not, is still controversial. So, let us leave the controversy aside. So, here, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentioning, the Lord's, by means of Lord's blessing, one will be able to see all the desires at one time, exactly like when Mother Yasoda saw in the mouth of baby Krishna. You are a small baby, the mouth must be this much only, no? So when she saw inside the mouth, and Krishna gave the blessing in such a way that he manifested the entire universe within the mouth, chota mouth, itna, you know, it will be this much, no? Entire universe. When she saw, hey, wait a minute, what are these? Sun, moon, all these planets, 14 planetary system. Exactly like Lord Krishna gave the blessing in such a way that she could see, in the same, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur say, in the similar way, Krishna can give the blessing to a pure devotee so that he can see one stroke all the desire and wipe it off. Katam. That is possible only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, here in this sloka, Narada Muni explains how A person whose mental state is in the sattva guna of Krishna consciousness, he will be able to see the material world. He will be remaining in the material world, but not influenced by the material world and material sense objects, because his senses are purified by Krishna consciousness. You will not be able to. Senses are there. It is not that he is senseless. Senses are there. But those senses are so trained that they will only go on the path of bhakti marg. They cannot even get diverted, even if they see the sense objects. It is possible, and even when that such devotee sees those sense objects and desires for those sense objects, it will immediately be go away by the mercy of Krishna. So today is also, we'll take few minutes to discuss about two great acharyas of our succession. Today is the disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Today is also the most auspicious occasion of Ratha Yatra of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Ratha Yatra. On this auspicious day, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Sivananda Sen, both of them disappeared on this very day. Very auspicious. Jagannath has taken these wonderful devotees. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, when he stayed in Jagannath Puri, there are two devotees, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. These are the two devotees who are always with him when the Lord was alone. They would not leave him alone in Gambhir. When the Lord will be staying there, everybody else go to their place and stay, and only Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. And the Lord, when he will feel the mood of separation, and he will start crying and screaming and sometimes running or sometimes brushing the head against the wall, the Lord will do so many things. And it is Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami who would chant different verses from the scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita Govind, and Krishna Karnamrit. So these are all exhibiting the mellows of confidential pastimes of the gopis with Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya would hear, he would get pacified. So it is stated that Swarup Damodar Goswami is Vishakha Shakhi, and Ramananda Rai is Lalita Shakhi. Like Lalita and Vishakha are always with Radha and Krishna. So it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is Radha and Krishna combination. So it was Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami who would be always accompanying the Lord in the intimate pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was also considered a guardian of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Guardian. All Gaudiya Vaishnavas come from Swarup Damodar Goswami. So much so that when Gundicha Marjan was happening, they were cleaning Gundicha, one devotee from Bengal, he came to Lord Chaitanya. The place was cleansed. And he brought one pot of water and he poured on the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He washed the feet and then he took the water and he drank that water in front of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was internally happy. Externally he said, "Who is this guy?" He said, "This is the temple of Lord Jagannath. You are washing my feet. What kind of etiquette is that? Hey, Swarup Damodar, your Bengali devotee has done something nonsense here. Your Bengali devotee." Prabhupada writes, all Bengali devotees are coming from Swarup Damodar. So immediately Swarup Damodar was called. "Your follower, what is this he is doing here?" Immediately Swarup Damodar took him by collar and pushed him out. "Chalo, bhaga jata." He was made Lord Chaitanya angry. And he was made to stand outside Gundicha temple for the entire cleaning. So in that way, Swarup Damodar Goswami is considered the guardian of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It is Swarup Damodar Goswami who wrote various pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his diary. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was requested to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary which was used to recall all the incidences. Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary was the basis of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Swarup Damodar Goswami also was such an expert in Sanskrit and devotional aspect that If somebody wants to present any poem, any sloka to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it has to be screened by Swarup Damodar Goswami. If it doesn't go through Swarup Damodar Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not listen to it. Once, one Brahmana from Bengal, he came to Puri and he wrote a poetry of drama describing about Lord Chaitanya's glories. And he showed to several devotees. Everybody said, "Oh, such a nice poetry. Such wonderful slokas arranged in so much. Very nice." And everybody said, "Maybe we should make Lord Chaitanya to hear that." Then it came to the notice. He was staying with actually Bhagavan Acharya. So Bhagavan Acharya is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So he came to Swarup Damodar Goswami and he said, "Please present this to Lord Chaitanya. If you don't approve it, Lord Chaitanya will not hear. He said, "No, so many people may write so many poetry. What is the thing? Not necessary." So repeatedly requested. Then he said, "Theek hai. Call that person and tell him to recite." So this Brahmana from Bengal, he came in front of Swarup Damodar Goswami and he started the invocation. Not real drama, first sloka. Invocation is first sloka. He invoke auspiciousness. Bhagavatam, invoking auspiciousness. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Like that, invoking auspiciousness. So he read only one sloka. He said, "Stop. Please explain what it means." So what this Brahmana explained is, Lord Chaitanya, who is the soul, came to this Puri. He has come to this Puri, Jagannath Puri, to give life to the Jagannath, who is just remaining like a wood. Stop it. Explain what it means. He said, "Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Soul, and because of him, Lord Jagannath is getting life, otherwise he is not having any life." He said, "You are a rascal. How can you write like this? What is the difference between Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya? You think Lord Chaitanya is a wood remaining here? Soul, body, difference is only for the material entities. For a conditioned soul, there is a duality of body and soul. Somebody who is, for the Supreme Lord, forget about the living entity who is purified. It is stated here, even a living entity who is completely purified of all the material desire, he can see the world as Krishna would see. And what to speak of Krishna himself? Jagannath is Jagannath. He is Supreme Soul himself. Why he needs another soul to come here? Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Soul. Jagannath is also Supreme Soul. It is not that he is wood standing there and Lord Chaitanya would come and give life. He said, "This is complete nonsense. Don't come it up and fall. I don't have to hear your rest of your drama. About drama, we already have with us." So in that way, Lord Chaitanya rejected wrong. Sometimes somebody may be very scholarly in poetry, language, grammar, all those things. But it is not sufficient qualification to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He asked, "Then how do I understand properly? You better go and associate with the pure devotee. You, by association with the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, then you understand the position of Lord Chaitanya. Now you don't know. By association with the devotee, one gets the devotional service. Otherwise it is not possible. One can be a great scholar, doesn't necessarily mean that he will understand devotional practice. Doesn't happen. So in this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami played wonderful pastimes with Lord Chaitanya. And also today is the disappearing day of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen was known for taking all the devotees from Bengal during Chaturmasya to Jagannath Puri to participate in Jagannath Rath Yatra. He will take a large group of devotees, and he was a very rich man, Shivananda Sen. So he would take care of all the expenditures of prasad and stay and toll, everything. So on one occasion, when he was taking a big group, one dog was following him. Following, joining the group. Dog, stray dog, street dog. So everybody was trying to, chase it away. They said, no, he wants to join, maybe. We don't know who he was, previous lifetime. He said, no, let him also come. So he was also feeding prasad. Everybody was taking prasad. After that, kutta ke liye bhi prasad de, oh, bhi bola, theek hai, achha hai. So dog was getting prasad and he was taking this dog. Then they reached one river. When they reached a river, everybody has to cross. And then the dog was also, he said, dog ko bhi le lo. That boatman said, no, I will not take dog. My boat, kutta ko nahi lete. He said, no, this kutta is coming, with us. He said, no, kutta I cannot take. My boat will become contaminated. Even somebody like a boatman those days cannot take kutta in the boat. Huh? Nowadays, kutta bhi sota hai saath mein karke sun raha hai. Ghar ka andar. People used to keep kutta. No, they used to keep dog. Not a problem. It has to be outside the house. Not inside. Actually, there's a saying that if you leave the door open, even kutta can come inside. So don't leave the door open, Gargi. Dog can be kept, but outside the house. Inside the house means it is contaminating. Because kutta is kutta, you know. There's also a saying that even if you wash the kutta and decorate it, and you keep it in the middle of the house, still it will do the same thing what it has to do, you know. You can't change the habits. The boatman said, no, I will not take the kutta. Then he said, how the? Double price, delo. Achha, double price, theek hai, delo. Extra toll. For man, one toll, dog le, do toll le liya. Theek hai. Paisa aayega to theek hai, kutta bhi chalega. So he took the bribing, you know. So, in that way, Sivananda Sen took care of the dog, and one day, the devotees forgot to feed the kutta. They didn't give food, prasad, and the dog disappeared. They were searching for the dog. He sent 10 people, go search everywhere, where the dog? They couldn't find the dog. He was very, very unhappy. So much so that, because they didn't give the food to dog, he also fasted. He was fasting. He was also fasting. So, when actually Sivananda Sen reached Jagannath Puri, he saw the same kutta standing in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, hey, same dog. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly threw a prasad, coconut pulp, poof, and dog ate that coconut Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad from Lord Chaitanya. After that, nobody saw the dog. And it is stated that the dog went back home, back to garden, just by getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, Sivananda Sen rendered wonderful service to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath, and he is identified as a messenger of Radharani in the Goloka pastime as Veera Gopi. Veera Gopi. He is a gopi in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we pray at the lotus feet of these wonderful Vaishnavas, Sivananda Sen, Swarup Damodar Goswami, so that we can also get little bit mercy to engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Sivananda Sen ki, Swarup Damodar Goswami ki, Tai Gaura Premanande. Let's stop here. Is there any question for?
What I understand, the meaning of benediction is that we are granted something which we are not.
You understand by?
I understand the meaning of benediction.
What?
Benediction.
Benediction.
Boon, okay. Boon. That which we are not destined to get, or that which we do not deserve. And if we get, that is called benediction. So when the demigods grant a benediction to humans, particularly materialistic benedictions, are they not acting against the will of God, because it will only add to the sense gratification, granting material boons?
It benediction can be given to undeserving candidate and it can be given to deserving candidate also. It's not that only to undeserving, deserving. So the living entity, when he is allured by the sense objects, he really wants it, wants to enjoy. Then there is a process given within the scripture how to enjoy. That is also scriptural. Karma Kanda. Somebody says, I want to go to moon. Aray, why you want to go to moon? Why don't you go back to garden? No, moon chahiye. It's exactly like a small child. Small child, ohi chahiye. Aray, baal le lo na, ohi, aise dikhte. Nahi, ohi chahiye. So, a child doesn't understand that he can't reach there, he wants it. So, in that way, the mother has to say that, okay, ye kutta ko dekho, billi ko dekho, kuwa ko dekho, he has to divert the attention, you know. So, but still if a person really wants to go there only, then there is a process given in Karma Kanda that, okay, you perform this kind of activity. If you do this activity, you can go to moon, you can go to heaven, you can go this like that. When somebody follows that scriptural injunctions and the demigods give them blessing, that is not against the will of the Lord. On the other hand, it is the will of the Lord that they give benediction those who do those kind of activities. The ultimate thing that Krishna wants is that everybody should come back to Godhead, but everybody will not be able to go unless they come to the level of sattvaika. So, unless one, by the blessings, now the real benediction comes, by the blessings of Guru and Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, if one's devotional seed is planted in the heart, when it grows, at the time, wanting to go back to Godhead is not the problem. But when somebody is in the lower modes, for them to get some material benediction, that is allowed. That is allowed. It's lower taste, but it's allowed. It's not a problem. At least they are taking the right path to achieve that, It's not like, to go to heaven, there is a process following that. Or somebody builds a staircase. Ravana. Demoniac man. You don't want to follow the scriptural injunction. Ravana wanted to build a staircase. Prabhupada compares people wanting to go to moon like Ravana building a staircase. There is a way to go to moon, You'll have to do some scriptural activity. You want to take some rocket and satellite and aerial vehicle, that's not the way to go. That is demoniac. So, when the demigods give some boons to some materialistic karma kandis, that is allowed in the scripture. But they will have to, by undergoing that process, when they come to the level of sattva guna, then they will get the real benediction of Krishna consciousness.
And those people multitude of people who go to Jagannath Puri, Dwarika, Badrinath, how many of them are want Krishna and they are also going for material benefits?
Better to go to these places than go to some other places of demigods. Because even though somebody may go to say, for example, Jagannath Puri jayega, Jagannath se hum mangenge, ye chahiye, wo chahiye, theek hai, kam se kam Jagannath se mango. Don't ask from Ganpati. Because by simply going to Jagannath, you wanted to ask something from Jagannath. By seeing the lotus eyes of the Jagannath, you may forget to ask, itna achcha hai Jagannath, bhool gaya tha. Then ghar aane, arre, main to puri gaya tha maangne ke liye, main Jagannath ko dekhi wapas aa gaya. It may happen, who knows? So, or you may get some wonderful Mahaprasad from Jagannath and by eating Mahaprasad, you may forget to pray for Jagannath some material benefit. Or even if you pray for Jagannath, Jagannath even may give and purify your desire. It is always better to go to the Supreme Lord, even if one has material desire, because by going to the Supreme Lord, the material desire can be purified, simply like Dhruva Maharaj, even though he had a material desire, simply by undergoing the process of devotional service, he was completely purified. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. The devotional service to Vasudeva is so potent that the Vairagya may not be there in the beginning, that may automatically come. So no problem, go to Jagannath and ask anything you want. Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra ki, Jagannath Ratayatra Maha Mahosav ki. ग्रंथराशि मद्भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे।